Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries. That is at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And this is Donald Crisp. I'm the lead pastor at the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and it is my privilege to bring the Good News message today. Now think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. And now my prayer is that God would bless our hearing of today's message, and that we would also commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God would bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart as well as my heart toward home as he speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, Have You Had Your Oil Changed Recently? Interesting title, isn't it? I obviously need to explain that title. My wife and I travel to Myrtle Beach once a year, and we go down for, 4 to 5 weeks. And the fact is, just before we go down, I always, of course, take the vehicle in, and we have the oil changed. Just want to make sure everything is what it ought to be. I've learned the importance of that. I've also learned that when we come back to the mechanic and I have the oil changed, make sure the vehicle's in good operating order. I've learned the importance of taking care of the vehicle. You know what? As we expand that thought, I have also learned the importance of taking care of your own personal life. And that's what I want to speak to you about today, about change. The message today is to really, I trust, will challenge our thinking when it comes to our marriage life, our married life, our family life, our spiritual life, our church family life. Let me ask you a question, and quite frankly, Jesus asked this of the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 as he examined their life. He said to them, and I believe this was really an indictment, he said to them, I notice you've lost your first love. Your first love. Yeah. He wasn't saying you don't love me. He was saying you've lost that first love. You've lost that fresh love. You've lost that passionate love for me. Now examine your life, folks. Is your marriage where it should be? Or are you presently taking each other for granted? Is your family life what it should be? What about your personal walk with the Lord? Is it what it should be? Or are you just taking that walk for granted? Are you actually protecting your family by setting boundaries and borders so that the world doesn't seep in? Remember, it isn't the ship in the water that sinks the ship. It's the water in the ship that sinks it. Are you allowing your marriage or your family life or your spiritual life, your personal life, to be watered down by the world? Is your spiritual life vibrant and alive with passion? Is your church family life meaningful? Or are you just going through the motions? What about your focus on God's written word, your focus on prayer? Do you need change? Do you need to set proper boundaries because life has been watering down your family life, your spiritual life? You know, as I reflect back on the old Roman Empire was not defeated by any army, but in fact, it self-destructed. Because of three things. As you look at that society, we can see that they self-destructed because of immorality. they self-destruct it because of impurity, and they self-destruct it because of idolatry. Yes, they worshiped other gods, but they also worship sports. Fast forward to our world today. I wonder how our world's doing when it comes to immorality and impurity and idolatry. Well, I think we all know the answer to that question. We can see that the world has been just watering down our value system. I want us to take a moment and listen to the words of the Apostle Paul that are recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Let's listen to these words. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And Paul concludes by saying, for I am ready. I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. Just before he is ready to die, he sounds the warning to the church and to people who were walking with the Lord to be careful about letting the world set in. Folks, we need to ask ourselves right now, where's our focus? Is our focus on God? Do we need to be renewed? Do we need to be refined? I need to think about, and we need to think about, the message that is set before us. Let's listen now to Brian Dorkson singing Refiner's Fire.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, Lord. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire.
Is meant to challenge us to examine our marriage life, our family life, our spiritual life, or even our church family life, whatever context fits for you. Just visit that. The first point I want to mention today is really, I'm calling it the drift. So many people today are suffering or being really challenged in their marriages or their family life or their spiritual life. And our church family life also is experiencing what I am calling the drift. The fact is, folks, we're being distracted in our culture today. We're not keeping the main thing the main thing. And because there's no passing of the truth baton, we are experiencing what I would call stagnation. Let's look at the drift when we look at the history of the church. Richard Halverson, former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, said the following. In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. Then the church moved to Greece, where it became a philosophy. Then it moved to Rome, where it became an institution. Then it moved to Europe, where it became a culture. Then it moved to America, where it became an enterprise. We can see the movement there. We can see the drift. We can see that they were getting distracted. I want to add to that. Then it moved to Canada, where it definitely drifted, because we are definitely distracted. We are not keeping the main thing the main thing. Our compass, our reference point, needs to be the cross. It needs to be Jesus Christ and no one else. We are distracted, I believe, because we're not listening for that still small voice. We're not listening to God's word. I'm reminded of the story of Joshua Bell, a violinist. It was January the 12th, 2007. He went to a busy subway station in Washington. It was here. He appeared before the people getting on and off the subway. He just wore a baseball cap, T-shirt, faded jeans, just fitted into the crowd. And he played his violin. Now, you need to know that this violin was not like any other violin. It had been handcrafted in the year 1713 by Antonio Stradivari, one of the most coveted and expensive violins in existence. You know, you'd pay big money to hear him play that violin and make such music. Out of the 1,097 commuters who passed Bell by that morning, do you know that only seven stopped to listen? Why, the rest were just too busy to stop, too busy to listen. They were distracted by time and busyness. Oh, we need in our culture to learn the lesson of stopping to listen. Otherwise, we will miss what God has for us. I'm reminded of what John Stott wrote when he wrote about the art of double listening. He said, double listening is the art of having one ear listening to God's word and one ear listening to God's world. In other words, we need to stop and listen. We need to stop and listen with our hearts. Are we listening for that still small voice? Are we listening to His word in order to discern His will? Are you distracted? Would you look at your life, your marriage, your family life, your personal life, walk with the Lord, even your church family life, and say, I definitely see there's a drift because I am distracted. Secondly, I want to speak to the issue of deception. The Apostle Paul again writes about love. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, about what I'm calling the deception. In this passage, we will see that rather than being lovers of God, that people become self-lovers, money lovers, and pleasure lovers. Listen to this, the Apostle Paul writing. He says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, they're rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, there it is, rather than being lovers of God. We can see in that passage, Paul is prophesying about his culture, but primarily ours as well. And he's saying, beware of the last days. You will see immorality, impurity, and idolatry. People will be self-lovers, money-lovers, and indeed, pleasure-lovers. They didn't keep the main thing the main thing. We're not keeping the main thing the main thing. Rather than focusing on being lovers of God, we are focusing on those other three loves. Oh, how we need to get our focus. We need to choose, as leaders of our families, we need to choose to focus today on loving the Lord and following the Lord. Let's break for a moment and hear Brian Dorkson singing that that wonderful praise song today.
Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Eternal King, Lord of hosts, willingly we follow. Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my
deception. Thirdly, let me draw your attention to what I'm calling the decision. You know, nowadays we don't usually think about those letters WWJD. When we look at ourselves drifting and not keeping the main thing the main thing, when we look at ourselves being deceived, that deception where we're not focusing on loving God, and we have issues that happen in our lives, and we know a decision, a choice needs to be made, we need to remember WWJD. We need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Addressing this issue, Charles Swindoll, in his book, The Church Awakening, he says that we must focus on what he says, three principles. Think spiritually. Stay biblical. Be flexible. Now let's just unpack that for a moment with the concept of WWJD. When he says, think spiritually, I think no matter what issue that we're confronted with, what we need to do, and I teach this at our church, we need to immediately stop, think, and pray. Before we react or say things that we'd be very regretful about at a later time, we need to stop, think, and pray. And we need to just think and pray about asking that question, what would Jesus do in this situation? Secondly, we need to stay biblical. We need to ask, what does God's word say that I should do? And we need to be flexible so that we can hear that still small voice speaking through his word and speaking to our hearts, saying to us, be prepared to do what God wants you to do. Oh, three principles to live by. Think spiritually, stay biblical, be flexible. These are decisions that we must make. Fourthly, the devotion. I can't help but think about the devotion of those early disciples and how wonderful their commitment was. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 speaks of it well. Do you know that early church was totally devoted to God? Jesus had ascended to the Father. They waited in the upper room. The Holy Spirit came upon them and just indwelt them, and it was a powerful time. And we see that early church was devoted to God. And we also make note of the fact that God added to their number daily those that were being saved. It was the greatest growth time in the early church, even though they went through a time of gross and horrific persecution. But you see, they were devoted. They weren't distracted. There was no drift. There was no deception. They were devoted. They had decided in their hearts to be devoted to God. As a matter of fact, they were devoted to four things. They were devoted to prayer. Let me ask you, are you devoted to the prayer? And remember, when you're devoted to prayer, remember that prayer isn't just us talking to God. It's each of us listening to him speaking to us. Folks, the most important voice when it comes to prayer is not our own. It's His. Oh, we need to listen to that still, small voice. They were devoted to prayer. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. Oh, how we need to realize that we're part of the family of God. When we come to Jesus Christ, we become part of His family, and we need to have fellowship daily with Him and with each other. Thirdly, they were devoted to the study of God's Word. They were devoted to it. They were sound in their doctrine. They were focused on God's Word. So when decisions came, they went to God's Word to find out, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do? And they knew God's Word because they studied God's Word. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within you. So they were prepared to meet the challenges. Let me ask this question. Are you devoted to prayer? Are you devoted to having fellowship daily with God and with the family of God? Are you devoted to the study of God's Word on a daily basis? The fourth thing that they were devoted to was the breaking of bread. Oh, what an incredible challenge, the breaking of bread. We think of the communion or the service or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, and absolutely that's what we're to think of. But focus on the bread for a moment. As we break the bread, we're reminded that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And He went to the cross, and He broke the power of sin over our lives. He's the one who broke that bondage that we were in by setting us free, by giving His life and shedding His blood. The breaking of bread, being devoted to the breaking of bread, means really being devoted to being in the presence of the living Christ, experiencing the presence of the living Christ. When's the last time you experienced the presence of the living Christ? Oh, yes, the drift, the deception, the devotion. How powerful is that? And indeed, the decision we make to make sure that we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in situations? Are you devoted to prayer? Are you devoted to having fellowship with God and God alone? Are you devoted to the study of His Word so you can hear His still small voice? Are you devoted to breaking bread, experiencing the powerful presence of the living Christ? Let me conclude with point number 5. I'm entitling this Due Diligence. In choosing leaders in our church, we always follow this mandate. We want people who come forward to be part of the leadership team in our church. They need to be available, they need to be faithful, and they need to be teachable. I believe that's exactly what Jesus had in mind when He chose His disciples. In other words, people need to be able to say, I am available. I am going to focus on serving You, Lord. I'm available, and I will be faithful to You and to You alone. Because when we're faithful to Christ, we will be a faithful person in all matters of life. And also, I need to be teachable. Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, we know that He is the one who will teach us the meaning of the Scriptures. He is the one who will teach us how to live our lives so that we can bring honor and glory to You. So let me ask you again, have you had your oil change recently? In other words, have you had God change you recently? I ask that of myself daily. Oh God, please, please, show me where I need to be changed. David prayed that prayer in Psalm 139 when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any offensive way in me. And you know what? What he meant by that was, and when you see it, Lord, cleanse it and change me so that I can learn how to honor You by the way in which I live. Would you take a moment and pray with me right now? Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and we give You praise. You are the one who sits on the throne. You are the one who created us. You're the one who redeemed us. You're the one who watches over us. You're the one who watches over us with loving eyes. Oh, we want to be in Your loving arms each moment of each day. And Father, we want to pray to You right now and declare to You right now that we are available and we will be faithful. And Lord, allow us to be teachable so that we can learn the principles and precepts that come from Your Word. And so, Father, right now we just ask that we would be able to focus on You. Our bottom line, Father, is that we don't need anything but You, because when we have You, we have it all. Oh, Lord, please hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I need to make a very important announcement at this time concerning this radio ministry. Let me say it clearly, let me say it quickly, and let me say it plainly. This ministry now is in danger of going off the air because of lack of funds coming in. You know what? The truth is, at the beginning of June, we were doing fine with financial gifts to this radio ministry. But since the beginning of June, only a few checks have come in support. Allow me to be candid. This radio ministry costs just under $700 each week for the 1/2 hour of airtime. And to be clear, you need to know that neither Dr. Churchill nor myself receive payment, an honorarium, or salary. This is a labor of love. So why has the financial support dried up? You know, we believe that there are a number of reasons, but two in particular. Yes, the postal strike, followed by summer. And that's enough just to see exactly what's happened here. Okay, here's my challenge. The challenge is, if God's moving your heart, the challenge is that he would also move your pen to write a check to the Good News Christian Ministries. And send that check to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. That's the Good News Christian Ministries. And send that check to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Let's now listen to Brian Dorkson singing, "I Don't Need Anything But You, God." That's the message we want to get out to the people, that God loves them and that they matter to God. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.